Welcome to the Keystone Sports Network.
Hello and welcome to the obligatory Keystone crossover show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. This is a combination of the obligatory PSU podcast and the Keystone Sports Network, where we take a look at a different aspect of the Penn State football world that we just may not have gotten to in our respective podcasts. Also, we're alternating the show between our two sites. If you're listening, obviously you found us on the Keystone Sports Network. Chris, welcome to the show, and why don't you let our listeners know where they can find the show next week?
Sure, absolutely, Jim. Thanks. Always a pleasure to be here with you, whether we're coming off a win or a loss. Too many times coming off a loss for my taste this season, but it is what it is. Appreciate everybody enjoying this show and everything both of us have been doing throughout this up and down season for the Nittany Lions. You can find the obligatory PSU podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just start typing in obligatory. We'll pop right up. And the obligatory PSU pregame show on your TV sets on Friday nights or Saturday mornings before the games. Of course, you can find all the times at statecollege.com or obligatorypsu.com, or just check your listings.
Very good. And special note to my listeners, it's Can't Miss TV. Make sure you find it. Chris, it was another disappointing week for Penn State.
Sure was.
As you mentioned. And what makes it so frustrating is that this was so much a winnable game. I think that's what really, really gets to me. But this wasn't just a matchup of two pretty comparable programs right now. It was also a matchup of two coaches. And you did some fantastic research on these two. Why don't you share that with us? Because it's really fascinating.
Yeah, so I think you led into it in a good way, Jim, which was to talk about how close the two teams were on Saturday. Despite the disparity in the record and the rankings, I thought the fact that they went into the game as a pick'em and it went down to the end of the fourth quarter is pretty reflective of where these two teams are. We're eventually going to find out about Michigan when they've got to play Ohio State, right? But I feel like these are two pretty good teams. And frankly, I think it's two pretty good coaches. There was some chatter online this week from some Michigan fans comparing James Franklin to Jim Harbaugh, and I guess kind of crying a little bit about how Franklin is put forward as a desirable candidate for some of these head coaching vacancies coming up at the big name programs, and Harbaugh tends to get a little bit of a short end of the stick from the media these days in terms of the job he has done at Michigan. Now, look, I think they were seeing that through maize and blue colored glasses, but I also would argue that Harbaugh was given, you know, I think one of the cushier honeymoons of any head coaching hire in recent memory. And so when the media extends you that luxury, you live by the sword and die by the sword. So since the program hasn't quite gotten to the heights that people were expecting when Jim got there with the resume that he had, you know, you're going to pay the consequences for that. But I thought it would be interesting to go back and look at some measures for both coaches and compare James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh, because I think Harbaugh is not quite as bad as he has been made out to be in the national press or by some of the college football fan bases here in the Big Ten or even his own fans. And I think you could probably say the same about James. So here are the raw numbers, Jim. In their respective stops at their current employers, James Franklin winning percentage at Penn State is 673. Jim Harbaugh is a little bit higher at 716. However, I do think we know the history of James coming to Penn State in the wake of the Sandusky scandal and the sanctions. So let's just lop off for the moment the two 7-6 seasons that Franklin had in his first 2 years, 2014 and 15. And I think you'll agree with me, right, that those were 2 years in which I felt the roster was actually the hardest hit by the scholarship limitations, and just finishing with a winning record was an impressive feat in itself, right? Like, you can look at those two 7-6 years and say, even though the record in a vacuum isn't impressive, that he was able to hold that together, bring in some good recruits, and finish with more wins than losses, that actually speaks well for Franklin, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. And I think it's very fair to take those out because those were the 2 years most that were hardest hit. And I think that also you got to take recruiting in there a little bit. you're recruiting with one hand tied behind your back when you're coming off that kind of scandal, that kind of notoriety also. So I know you're going to talk a bit about recruiting. I think that plays into it also.
Yeah, there's no question that it's apples and oranges comparing what these two guys were inheriting, and I am going to talk about that. But, you know, look, suffice to say, Jim Harbaugh was not pulling backup defensive linemen to the other side of the football so he could have five scholarship starters on the offensive line, right? So
exactly.
If we lop off 2014 and 15, James Franklin's winning percentage at Penn State is 720. So even with the most recent lackluster results, he's essentially equal to where Jim Harbaugh is at Michigan. And so he has been at Penn State for a year longer than Jim Harbaugh. So Harbaugh has 26 losses at Michigan, and James Franklin has 32 at Penn State. But if you just look at the time they have overlapped, Harbaugh starts at Michigan in 2015, then Franklin has – I'm sorry, I said Harbaugh had 26 losses. He has 23. So Franklin has 26 losses 2015 to present. Harbaugh has 23. And again, just comparing the post-sanction window, so if we look at them both 2016 to present, where they're on, you know, quote-unquote equal footing, they both lost 20 times. So again, very, very similar, these two guys. Now, here's where I think you see the disparity, and this is where I'll compare and contrast James, and I think the comparison is favorable in favor of Penn State and James Franklin. So here I just use 24/7 sports data. James's seven complete recruiting classes from 2015 to 2021, average a 15th place ranking with one top 10 finish. While Jim Harbaugh's six complete recruiting classes have averaged 12th in the nation with three top 10 classes in the 24/7 rankings. So just on raw recruiting class rankings, Harbaugh has actually recruited a little bit better than James has. Certainly has finished with several more top 10 classes, but as I just talked about, especially 2016 to present, the results are basically identical. Now, going back to where these guys started when they came in, I looked at the average 24/7 ranking for the four classes that preceded their hiring. So what condition was the roster and the program in when these two coaches got to their respective current employers? So prior to James Franklin's arrival at Penn State, 2011 to 2014, the average class ranking for the 4 years prior was 34th in the nation, peaking at 24 in 2014. And that was that Bill O'Brien recruiting class that included some great cornerstone pieces of the Big Ten championship team of 2016. So it was Mike Gesicki and Nick Scott, guys like that. I think Chris Godwin was in that class. Remember, James Franklin had to work overtime to retain those guys because Bill O'Brien recruited them and then left for the NFL right at the turn of the new year. So credit to James for keeping that class together. But, you know, because of Joe coming to the end of his career and the sanctions and the scandal, Penn State not in great shape recruiting-wise, roster talent-wise, when James Franklin got there. On the other hand, for Jim Harbaugh, the four-year rolling average of recruiting class rankings coming in was 17th. And they had top six classes in both 2012 and 2013. So I think, to me, the big headline is that these guys have been relatively similar in terms of the results they have produced, but the starting point for Jim Harbaugh was far ahead of where James Franklin was. James kind of got kicked into a hole and was told to scrabble back out just to get to sea level, and Jim Harbaugh had started in one of the more enviable positions. I mean, look, 17th out of all of SBS, FBS for your 4 years leading up to when he got there, two top 10 classes forming the core of his 2015 and 2016 teams. I mean, far more enviable position for Harbaugh, Jim, than for James Franklin at Penn State.
and the back-to-back top six classes in 2012 and 13, you would think would bode well. A couple fascinating things come out of this, Chris. One is it appears Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan program has recruited better than the guy who's known as the recruiter, James Franklin. And James Franklin probably has done more coaching-wise developing his team than Jim Harbaugh, who's, I believe most people think as the nuts and bolts coach cut type, as opposed to James Franklin, the recruiter. Is that fair to say based on what you researched?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting, right? Like, we all think of James as the star recruiter who can't develop talent. But, you know, again, like, as far as recruiting class rankings and just looking at 24/7, I would love to do a deeper dive on this in the future, and maybe I will. But on the surface, it tells us maybe a little bit different story. And when you talk about, has Jim Harbaugh produced higher ranked recruiting classes than James Franklin has? The answer is yes. But again, look at the fact that since Franklin has been here, you know, he has been able to get his average recruiting class ranking at Penn State up to 15th in the nation, inheriting a place where it had been averaging at 34th in the 4 years coming in. So that was like a 20-spot improvement practically for Penn State. And I did actually go back and look at the four normal years, the last four-year normal sample size we had. So I looked at 2007 to 2010. So the last four Paterno classes that were untouched by the breaking of the Sandusky scandal. And even still there, the average ranking was 28th, with the highest class being ranked 13th in 2010. So even if you just look at the non-scandal end of the Paterno era at Penn State, James has made a significant improvement in the average recruiting class ranking at Penn State. And then you look at where Jim Harbaugh is. He's come in and it was averaging 17th, and he's gotten them up to averaging 12th. So they've really only improved about five spots. And with that collection of talent, both that he inherited and that he has brought in, he's essentially producing at about the same rate that James Franklin is. And probably the Michigan fans, pending the outcome of this year's Ohio State game, might be more frustrated with Jim Harbaugh than Penn State's are with James Franklin, even though we're staring down the barrel of you know, nine-plus losses over the last 2 years.
As comparable as these two programs have been while these two coaches have been there, there's very different personalities and very different ways to go about getting there. And I'd like to throw a theory at you that our colleague Dustin Hawkinsmith gave earlier in the week,
yeah.
And I want to see what you think of this. He said he looks at the two of them as Jim Harbaugh has the old-fashioned offense, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, essentially, still looking to run the ball, and James Franklin wants to go for the splash plays. And the end result of those two different ways of going about it is, with James Franklin, you're going to have a higher ceiling but a lower floor. And with Jim Harbaugh, you won't be as high, but you also won't be as low. And in the end, it averages out. I think I'd rather have the guy with the higher highs and will occasionally win a Big Ten championship.
Yeah. I think that's fair for sure. You know, if I was a Michigan fan, I guess maybe my takeaway from this, and I did not necessarily believe this going in, but if I were a Michigan fan, I would probably be in the same place I am as a Penn State fan, which is to say, let's stay the course with this guy, but understand that there may be some limitations there. And I guess that's the last stat I want to throw out at you. And to me, this is relevant given the fact that Penn State held the lead once again in the fourth quarter of a game it lost this season on Saturday. One place where these guys are not comparable, and I can laud James, and deservedly so, for coming in, inheriting a program that was not recruiting at the level it should be, and turning that around significantly. He deserves a lot of credit for that. One place where I think the fans have felt frustrated is this feeling that Penn State never has a lead that's safe and has a penchant for blowing fourth quarter leads. Well, the numbers do kind of pan that out a little bit. So I talked about James Franklin has lost 32 times as Penn State's head coach. Jim Harbaugh has lost 23 times at Michigan in one fewer season. In 12 of the 32 James Franklin losses at Penn State, Jim, that's 38% of the time, the Nittany Lions have held a lead in the fourth quarter. And here's the frustrating part about that. Two out of two losses in 2017, two out of four losses in 2018, three out of four losses in 2021. You would think, well, okay, maybe that's just backloaded to those tough sanction years. Not the case. In 2014 and 2015 together, only three of Penn State's 12 losses were games in which the Nittany Lions led in the fourth quarter. Usually they were losing because they were getting blown out. But now that the talent gap has closed, Penn State has gotten the lead, hasn't been able to hold it frequently. 38%. That's a lot. Just for comparison purposes, Jim Harbaugh, six out of his 23 losses. So 26%. One out of four losses for Jimbo, one out of three for James Franklin. Although, again, if you're comparing where the two fan bases are mentally, half of those six losses would lead in the fourth quarter, Jim. Three are the three losses in the 2016 season for Michigan. So that's the Iowa game that opened up the path to the Big Ten title for Penn State. That's the Ohio State game that sealed it, and then their bowl game versus Florida State that season. So Michigan fans have got to be thinking back to that 2016 season and just bashing their heads up against the wall. They're in the playoffs if they can hold fourth quarter leads against Iowa or Ohio State, and then they can't even seal the deal in their bowl game.
I'm not going to laugh at Michigan's fate for blowing leads in the fourth quarter. And by the way, just so you know, of all the stats, and I was waiting for you to get to this one, and I'm showing you my notes, I circled that statistic. To me, that was the most fascinating, and I think it reinforces what Dustin had said earlier in the week about the volatility of Penn State. I think the high end is they're able to get the lead. The problem is they don't have that ability to grind it out, the old-style offense. Like we saw just this past week, Michigan had the lead when Penn State gave it back to them. Michigan did not give the ball back to Penn State. Penn State knew they were going to keep it on the ground, could not stop them. How often has that role been reversed where Penn State just had to, remember the four-minute offense, just get first downs? And they've proved incapable of doing it. So that one hits a little close to home there, Chris. Last note from you on the topic.
Well, I guess my final thought is this. If anything else, I think most Penn State fans probably in a vacuum would agree that Michigan is unlikely to find a better fit right now than they're getting with Jim Harbaugh, especially because he's on a, you know, cheaper contract than he was a year ago because he made the unprecedented move of accepting a pay cut to stay at Michigan, which was mind-blowing to me, but might start to become a trend here in the coaching ranks. I really do still feel like we're in that same position as fans with James Franklin. As frustrating as the losses may be and as irritating as his unwillingness to commit to staying at Penn State might become, I really look at this and I think, man, there's a positive trend here that overall I am more than happy to continue buying into. And, you know, especially going back to where I talked about the aggregate effect of starting so far behind, not necessarily with facilities. I'm not going to dig up that conversation. I'm just talking about the state of the program and the state of the roster and the amount of winning you have to do in order to convince talented kids to come play for you. It's been a more complicated building project for James Franklin than it has been for almost any other Power 5 coach at a program with the capacity to compete for a playoff spot and potentially to win a championship. And to me, there's no clearer lesson in that than Jim Harbaugh walked into what truly was just a turnkey situation with everything right there and not having to do any of that cleanup that James did. And the results, more or less, are basically the same. And if you just strip out the brand names on the programs and the way they lost and you look at the raw numbers, they're exactly the same.
They truly are. My last thought on this, and with James Franklin, and I'll reiterate what I've said probably 100 times on our program, be careful what you wish for. Miami, Florida State, Florida, Texas, USC, Nebraska, on and on and on. Those were programs who thought they deserved to be playoff caliber or at least top 10 caliber teams. They kept changing coaches. Didn't work out so well for them. All right, folks, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next week on the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show.
Keystone Sports Network.